Welcome to special coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate, live from Milwaukee and brought to you by your local Civic Media radio station.
Every news talk show host across the Civic Media Network is broadcasting from the Deer District outside Fiserv Forum, where the debate takes place tonight. The team includes political experts providing information and insight you won't find anywhere else.
Now, this special coverage, live on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allball, joined by Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin, and Trygve Olson. He is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, and Luke Mathers back at the home studio, the world headquarters, back on State Street. We have Brian Kelly here as our engineer on site as well. We appreciate the entire team effort, and we are getting ready, ladies and gentlemen, for tonight. All the Republican candidates, at least those who qualified and who want to be here, will be on the stage right across from us in Fiserv Forum. We're calling it the road to the Republican nomination starts here because, Kristen, it's a little bit like March Madness.
Because it's taking place in a stadium where they play basketball?
Because it's a race. it's like a contest. It's like a sport.
For people like us, it is a sport, isn't it? Isn't it what they call it, the game?
Yeah, it is.
Trygve was in the game. He was a starting player, a starting point guard, for goodness sake. But it is a little bit like a game, right, Trygve? I mean, it's the ultimate sport for some of us.
Doesn't that kind of make me like the old retired commentator guy
now? Right, yeah.
There is. Well, so I have this whole theory, you know, one of the challenges we have with our politics has kind of been a sportification of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even like, I mean, honestly, if you're me, there's nothing the Minnesota Vikings can possibly do right under any circumstances. I mean, I hate them. I hate their fans. And that's what our politics has kind of become, you know.
That's
Packers can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
And there's just, you're just lifelong, can't change your mind. This is just the team I'm on no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, I know that you and your husband are expecting your first, and I will tell you, I got to go see the Super Bowl when the Packers beat the Cowboys. I was actually with the person who's running Donald Trump's campaign, who's a Steelers fan.
Oh, that's funny.
When we went. But I put on Facebook that it was the greatest moment of my life because I had been wanting the Packers to win the Super Bowl since Viking fans were throwing my stocking cap on top of Greenwood Elementary School. And my wife took issue with that. She brought up the day she agreed to marry me, the day our first child was born, that maybe those should have been the greatest day of my life. But I wasn't waiting for those my entire life. I was waiting for the Packers to win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think there's an element of that for some of these guys, right?
Yeah.
Well, clearly for Scott Walker, it was the culminating moment of his life when he got to get up on the debate stage.
All downhill.
And it all went downhill from the time he got on that stage. So.
Well, it is interesting because I think there's two different – when you talk about it as a game, there's the game of people in like the positions you've been in, and I guess you were in as far as Wisconsin politics go, is like the separation from – like when it's really winning and losing, and it's not about the actual fact that like the person, how politics are personal, mm-hmm. and how politics actually do affect people's lives. But as far as the treating it like a game, and like the danger of that, because policy does matter and elections do have consequences. And I think that's the thing now is like there's the tribal aspect of it from the voter constituent side of it, but then there's still like the political insiders that are like, well, this is what you do. I mean, this is at least what when I read Tim Miller's book, it was like, what, you know, like, and talking about all of those, like, well, yeah, like, it was just like, we didn't really think that. We just had to say that. And it's dangerous and there's consequences.
Well, and I mean, the other thing that people don't get is, I mean, like, you know, you go to these things and you know, everybody would get together afterwards, drink beer and go out with their friends. And even though you'd beat each other up, I mean, you'd go to the spin room, you'd be taking it to the others. But it was a little bit, when people ask me what is it like, you know, it's a little bit debates, inter-party debates. You know, I grew up playing hockey, and it's a little bit like when you're playing hockey with your buddies and the guys who are on your team, and you just put all the sticks in the middle and you throw half to one side, half to the other, and you play, you're going to beat the tar out of each other because you're playing to win. But then afterwards, everybody's getting together and friends. And now I think that's less true now in the post-Trump era.
Really?
Because Trump's not playing by these rules. Like, he's basically told Fox News and the Republican Party and everybody else, I don't have to play by your rules. I'm going to go do my thing with Tucker Carlson.
which will be interesting.
Right.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. I learned that yesterday.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, it would be like if Aaron Rodgers said, you know, I'm going to go play in my own league.
Kristen, which I wouldn't put it past him, honestly.
Sponsored by ayahuasca.
Did you think the viewership was so high on X? Like,
I guess, there was such a, they made such a big deal about it when his show first came on.
It
and
crashed.
How many people were watching, and then I just stopped paying attention because I don't really care. and then I heard yesterday someone was like, oh, yeah, like, no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, it doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
Like what?
It was a thing for about five
minutes.
It was
like a week. Everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it was like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week. And Ron DeSantis's too, apparently. But, the other thing that people, this is like a total Washington story, but it's kind of funny. So I was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I went one time, and I thought, this is not where a Wisconsin boy goes. I'll never go again. And I was sitting next to John Bon Jovi, and I told him the story that, you know, and this is true, when I worked on Ron Paul's campaign, we played the song Wanted Dead or Alive. It talks about all the names have changed. Only the names will change, whatever. But that's what running for president is like. You fly from place to place. And he and I ended up having this long talk about that.
We'll come back and talk a little bit more with Trigvi and Kristen. We'll add in our colleague also, Will Walter. How about the youth vote? Both sides are trying to get it. Can these people on this stage tonight, do they have a chance? We'll ask these guys when we come back. And Will Walter, don't go anywhere. This is our on-location show across from Fiserv Forum at Whitetail in Milwaukee. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to special coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate, live from Milwaukee and brought to you by your local Civic Media radio station.
Stay with us as every news talk show host across the Civic Media Network is broadcasting from the Deer District, right outside Fiserv Forum, where the debate takes place tonight.
Your special coverage continues now, live from Milwaukee on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back. We are live outside Fiserv Forum at the beautiful Whitetail, Milwaukee. If you're ever down here in the Deer District, if you want a place to grab a drink and just chill out right by the water, right across from Fiserv, get yourself down here. Whitetail in Milwaukee, a fine establishment it is. I'm here with the host of As Goes Wisconsin, Kristen Bry, every day from 10 until noon. Also, Trigvi Olson, he is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a Wisconsin native and a longtime Republican operative like me. He also left the Republican Party and is now just fighting for democracy. One of the things you've been on both of our has he been on your show yet?
He has not been on my show yet.
We'll correct that. One of the things that I know, Trigvi, that you've talked on our show here, and I want to get both your takes on this, is that it might not so much matter which candidate wins the election in 2024. The biggest thing might be if the losing side accepts the results. And Trigvi, tell folks a little bit about this Institute for Democracy project that you've been working on and what that means. I want to get both your takes on what you feel as you talk to people. Kristen, you talk to people like me all across the state, you so more so here in Milwaukee. But are people going to accept the results on this, Trigvi?
Well, I mean, I think on the right, you've already seen that most Trump people didn't accept the results. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think that they're going to accept Biden winning again. Question is, how many of them might potentially and what happens that could cause a repeat of the violence that we saw last time. I think on the left, though, you can make a real case that if Donald Trump could win. No Labels could run a third candidate that siphons off enough votes. You know, here in the state of Wisconsin, which probably will decide the election, I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again, you know. And if that happens, will people on the left be willing to accept that? Should they, you know, and should they accept it, knowing that Donald Trump's never going to give power back if he takes power? You know, we had that conversation, you know, Aaron Zomers was like, if Trump's back, I'm going to the streets. I think there are people, and that really is where the danger lies.
Well, and it's interesting because I was one of those people who was like, come hell or high water, I'm going to the Women's March in D.C. And I did. And what's so shocking to me is then you fast forward to January 6th, because one of the things that being at the Women's March in D.C. in 2017, there was no cops. Like, that was the thing we kept, you know, 700,000 people, mostly women. Yeah. But the amount of you looked around, you're like, they really underestimate. They just really assumed that we were going to be peaceful. And we were.
Right.
And so there, and there was no purpose besides a demonstration. And it's funny, not funny, but it is curious to think about all the research that you guys have done as far as what's changed, what will be 8 years later, if that stays the same. Because it was people who have accepted that he's president, but we're still protesting the fact that this is a guy who said what he said, treats women the way that he does. And they were there to say, we're not happy about this. We are now the resistance. But it wasn't people saying, I don't believe he won the election.
Right. Here's the question I'd have for you, Kristen, is like, though, do you think if Donald Trump were coming back, and so let's say in January of 2025, you're having that same protest, most of those people would probably have a higher level of anger about what's coming. And that, and so I agree with you, like the Women's March, in fact, you know, my wife and two daughters went to the Women's March too. There was less anger. There was maybe shock, right? But this time I think there would be more anger about it, in part because they've seen the repercussions of what happens. I say this a lot, like I am actually pro-life. But I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do. And I'll be damned if I want theocrats like Greg Abbott or that guy down in Oklahoma or Scott Walker telling my daughters what to do. There's nothing Republican about that.
Yeah.
Zero conservative.
Trigvi, I'm going to let you go here. We're going to switch out here. Will Walter is going to join us in a second. But before we let you go, you're going to join us tonight. We appreciate that. Give people now a quick preview in a minute. What are you looking for? What should people who are actually going to watch this thing, how should they watch it? What should they look for?
I think they should watch what Brett Baer is going to do to Ramaswamy. I think they should be watching Chris Christie and how hard he goes after Trump. But even more, how much is he willing to call out the other guys who aren't willing to go after Trump? I think, you know, people will want to watch what Tim Scott and Nikki Haley do, because they might seem to be the most likely to have the potential to break out. And then, you know, with Ron DeSantis, let's see if he gets up and pulls a Scott Walker and this is the end of his campaign. We'll know that if he's basically standing up there blabbering over himself like Walker did in the one debate he went to. So.
All right. Thanks, Trigvi. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you later tonight at 6 o'clock in our special Sounds coverage. Great. Your boss is in the house as well, Rick Wilson. We might get him on in just a bit as well. He'll join us tonight. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Trigvi's going to step out for a second, and we're going to turn down his mic. We're going to bring in our colleague here, Will Walter, in just a second. But while we switch out the microphones, let's go ahead and do that, Trigvi. We'll get Will on here. Kristen, what are you looking for just as a viewer? What's going to interest you tonight looking at the debate? If you watch it, like, I was hoping I'd see that.
I mean, the petty part of me wants them just to go after each other, right?
Right?
It's just to watch the snakes eat the snakes. But I think that is part. I think it's interesting to watch no one has been able to make a case for themselves strong enough case for themselves, right? Because they're all afraid to engage with the master troll. Right? Like, no one's a bigger troll than Trump. And the names he comes up for people, and if they engage him by going after him and what that can potentially do, like, it seems everyone but Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Because even I would say, you know, Pence has shown more of a backbone than he has previously. Mm-hmm. Then he's a little bit more now. Asa Hutchinson made the debate stage. And so he's been pretty strong as far as where he stands. Chris Christie is the only one who I feel like has a sharp tongue.
Right.
And I just don't know. Care. I just don't know if the other five are going to have a backbone.
Right. We shall see. I'm going to bring on now a colleague of ours. He is the co-host of Town Call each and every afternoon, 12:15 to 1 o'clock, along with our engineer producer. This guy, Luke Mathers, he does it all.
Does it all.
He co-hosts the show with Will here, and then he also
Luke
is now
Mathers.
On with us. We bring on Will Walter. Will, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, of course. That Luke Mathers name sounds weirdly familiar to me. I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
And there he is.
There he is. Yeah, no, I know that guy. I know that guy. Nice guy.
He is a great guy.
Ask him about how I'm running up the score on him on Fridays for Best Wisconsin Headline of the Week.
I've been listening.
Did this rivalry start before the show?
No.
It all started during the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and kind of the long-running joke is, and I'm more than confident to admit this, it was completely Luke's idea to have this.
Is that true, Luke?
No, the Headlines of the Week Friday competition type thing, which I thought was a great idea. So, of course, I immediately took credit for it. And I have I've been kind of like running that every couple of weeks saying like, yeah, you know, when good ideas come, they got to be implemented. And I'm just so chock full of ideas. And Luke just, you know,
what is
the
score right now between you two?
He's up by one game.
Will played a pickup game
one game
on his own.
500.
He played a pickup game on his own on Friday in my absence and then counted it as a victory. So that's that's why
he did not show up. He did not show up. All right? That is
forfeited.
That is
he forfeited
forfeit.
Because he got married.
Exactly. He did not have his
look. He's got the ring.
Scheduled
his priorities
absence.
need to be in the right place here.
Absence. That's all.
That's
I'm
scheduled
say.
Absence. Here's what's absent from this race, I think, as we turn this thing back to this debate tonight, both Will and Kristen. We have seen an absence of a focus on the youth vote from Republicans, at least, for quite some time. Now, Kamala Harris, vice president, was in Chicago just down the road here about a week ago. She was talking about things like the environment and about women's right to choose. Brian Schimming, the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, says at least they admit there's a problem. That's the first step, right? Mm-hmm. That they've got a problem. They're trying to get youth vote along with crime and the inflation issue. Will, you're not quite Gen Z, as you like to remind me, but you're right on the cusp.
About a year or two off of it, unfortunately.
But you're an organizer here in Milwaukee. You are in touch with people of the younger generation. What do you think it's going to take? Is there even a chance that these people across the street tonight can connect with young people?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because if you ask Vivek Ramaswamy, he's going to say they shouldn't vote until they're 25. So, right. You know, where do you draw the line there? Young people, they don't get credit for how intuitive they really are. There's a lot of the, I hate to use the term, but a lot of the, you know, boomer mindset when referencing young people is all these lazy, entitled kids. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to work. Well, it's difficult for a lot of young people to get involved in electoral politics because, A, they're working 40, 60, 80 hours a week sometimes, multiple jobs just to afford rent. They're never going to be able to buy a home, right? They've gone through multiple once-in-a-generation type economic catastrophes, and they keep being told, like, oh, you know, that'll never happen again, that'll never happen again, and then it does happen again. It's really unfair, I think, to expect young people to kind of maintain a status quo that has done nothing but a disservice to them for their entire lives. I get approached all the time by you know, party reps and elected officials. How do we get young people involved? How do we get young people engaged? And I'm like, it's really simple. You do things that improve their quality of life, improve their material conditions, and they will come and support you in return. And they're like, well, we can't do that. So what else can we do? And it just, it's frustrating.
Keep making promises you can't keep.
It's frustrating because it reminds me a lot of like corporations when they're like, how do we make
advertise
our employees think that we're a family? We want to have this, you know, we're a family here. Let's have a pizza party for them on Friday. Like, no, that's not how the world works, right? You treat them well with respect and dignity. You pay them well. You offer good benefits. And they will treat you well in return. Like, it's really not complicated here. But they'd rather, you know, oh, we can't handle that. So instead, we're going to do casual Fridays. Like, No.
Kristen, you've been very open on your show, As Goes Wisconsin, every day from 10 until noon, along with Jane, talking about your pregnancy. You're expecting your first child, you and your husband, Mike. As someone who's about to become a mother for the first time, are you starting to think in terms of what's my child's future going to be like when you look at who to vote for?
Well, I mean, I guess I know who to vote for. I think about it a lot, even as just the climate change stuff is because the existential question that I think a lot of people have is like, oh, is it ethical to have children these days? Which is a bigger conversation than we have time for today.
Another glass of whatever here at the Whitetail. Yeah.
But I think there are people who are not having kids because they don't think it's necessarily an ethical choice because of the way to bring children into a world that is getting destroyed.
Wow.
And I've had this conversation before, so obviously, you know, do it a month. We've made our bed. But I do think about, like, what is the world that they're inheriting? And as we see what this summer has looked like with each week a different disaster, and as we sit here sweltering, we're not sweltering because luckily we are in air conditioning, but it is hot outside, and we've been lucky enough that this has not been our entire summer, unlike huge parts of the country in the South, that this has been there every day. And this is probably one of the coolest summers they will ever have again.
I frequently reference that The Simpsons meme where Bart's like, oh, this is the worst day of my life. And Homer's like, the worst day of your life so far.
Yeah.
It's that, but with the heat, you
and
could
disasters,
apply that. With disasters. Like, yeah. And that was a great point, Kristen, I think about is it ethical to have children? Because my friends and I have that conversation all the time.
30 seconds left, Will. What are the top two issues you think that young people want to hear from politicians today?
Abortion and climate change. What I've heard a lot when door knocking recently has been gerrymandered maps, but that's obviously significantly more specific towards Wisconsin.
Thank you very much, Will Walter, co-host of Town Call with Luke Mathers each and every day from 12:15 to 1. He's going to be on with us tonight from 6 until 8. Look forward to that. Krista Bry, As Goes Wisconsin, 10 until noon every day with Jay Matinier. Thank you both very much. When we come back, the head of the Lincoln Project here live in person, Rick Wilson. Don't go anywhere. The Todd Allball Show on location in Milwaukee after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to special coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate, live from Milwaukee and brought to you by your local Civic Media radio station.
Stay with us as every news talk show host across the Civic Media network is broadcasting from the Deer District, right outside Fiserv Forum, where the debate takes place tonight.
Your special coverage continues now, live from Milwaukee on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, live on location outside the Deer District. We're at Whitetail, Milwaukee, right along the river. Beautiful day. That is, if you really like the heat.
Depends on your definition of beauty, I guess.
If you really
like
the heat.
It's sunny.
It's sunny. Always a sunny disposition, the co-host of Town Call. We have Will Walter with us, as well as his compatriot, the also co-host. It is Mr. Luke Mathers, back at the World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're going to have Rick Wilson join us in just a moment. But I wanted just to follow up with you, Will, on this youth vote, because I don't think that we can talk about this enough. I think it's something that's really potentially, we saw this with Jenna Protasiewicz in her election, correct? With this huge turnout in places like Eau Claire on the campuses, and for years as a guy who worked in Republican politics, and you heard, oh, the youth vote's going to turn out and make a difference. All the, and it rarely, if ever, did. This time in Wisconsin, for Jenna Protasiewicz, the youth vote turned out, and it helped elect Jenna Protasiewicz to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it put me on the hot seat, both because it's, you know, 100 degrees out and because we're talking about the things that need to be covered. The youth, once again, came through. They have now for the last couple of cycles, but the Protasiewicz election, I think, is the best example of that. She won by 11 points in a state that's essentially a 50-50. And these issues, you know, that we talked about before the break, abortion, climate, gerrymandered maps, those three things matter to young people. They came out in force. Some of the turnout numbers were insane. I think Dane County was at like 60%, yep, more than double the old turnout for a spring election. Yep. Turnout rivaled midterm numbers in a lot of places. Some of the numbers from college campuses in particular were astounding.
It really was. If you'd like to give us a call and ask a question, we welcome your calls. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go up to Wisconsin Rapids up there, beautiful central Wisconsin. And we have Mike from Wisconsin Rapids. What say you? No, Mike is not there. All right.
Very good. Just lost Mike. I don't know what happened there, Mike. Oh, we got Mike back. Let's try it again now.
Oh, all right. Fantastic. Mike, we're sorry we lost you there on the lines. Mike, you're there in Wisconsin Rapids. What's say you?
I have a question about January 6th. One of your callers before said that it was an obvious insurrection. I remember getting my hair cut about a month before that, and Dawn, who cuts my hair, said, are you going to the Capitol on January 6th? There's going to be a big Trump rally. And I said, first I heard of it. I said, you couldn't pay me $1 million to go there, because there's going to be so many people and somebody's going to do something stupid. My point is, you know, yeah, I got a college degree, but I'm not the smartest guy in the world. What I'm trying to understand is how the people that I see it one way, and there's half the people that see it the other way, that this is an insurrection. I've got these transcripts from Trump right here, and it says this is exact words. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol, building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. So one of the callers said he led the insurrection. explain to me, try to convince me how to see it from the way you guys are seeing this, that Trump led an insurrection. And also, if you can explain to me how Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House and could have the power to have people, that she didn't have more security. Because I've been to one Trump rally, and in Moseley, Wisconsin, there was like 15 to 20,000 people. We couldn't even get close to being in.
Mike, I appreciate the call. We welcome all callers here. Appreciate your call in and appreciate your viewpoint. I would simply refer you back to the January 6th committee, the bipartisan January 6th committee, in which Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, and look, the Cheneys are many things, but pansy liberal wallflowers, they are not. And so if you look and see what Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and the bipartisan January 6th committee did, there is overwhelming evidence that Donald Trump led an insurrection. And now you have more charges coming out in this indictment now in Georgia and other places. There's nothing that I can really say, Mike, that I don't think that I'm going to convince you of that. I think the key is start asking yourselves questions. When you see people on the stage tonight, when you look at Donald Trump, ask yourself, is this something that Tommy Thompson would have done if he were president, if he would have become president of the United States? I mean, he did run for president at one time. Ask yourself, you know, people like Steve Gunderson, who represented Western Wisconsin as Republican in the 80s and the 90s. These are not normal things that traditional Republicans in this country have done. And again, I can't convince you. I don't think Will can convince you. He's a great guy and a smart guy that all both of us put together. I'm not even sure Rick. Well, I was going to say Rick Wilson can't even convince you.
That might be the better person to ask here.
Listen,
I mean, like, I'm going to let you slide in here.
We're going to have Rick Wilson slide in. He's the founder of the Lincoln Project. We appreciate it. Will, thank you very much. We're going to talk to Will a little bit later on tonight on our pregame show. Rick, thanks so much for being here. Nice to have you here in person. You've been here on the show before. But I'm sure you heard the caller there.
Yeah.
What say you to somebody? Because I don't think that we can convince anybody. They have to come to that decision for themselves.
Look, the evidence is absolutely overwhelming. The January 6th Commission, first off, understood very clearly that there was a broad conspiracy led by Donald Trump to encourage a violent attack on the Capitol. You know, in a conspiracy, you don't have to say, okay, henchmen 2 and 3, you attack with guns at this door, and henchmen 4 and 5, you attack with clubs at that door. That doesn't define what the conspiracy is. The conspiracy is the intent to commit the crime. Donald Trump stood there and encouraged them up. I'm going to walk down there with you. He understood also from the Secret Service that day that the mob was armed. He said, they're not going to hurt me.
Right.
And he sent them to the Capitol. Yeah. And when the mob was screaming, hang Mike Pence, and Trump is informed about it, he does nothing. He waits. He sits. He watches. None of this stuff, guys, is a pass on Donald Trump's culpability and the culpability of the people around Donald Trump who built this mechanism in advance of January 6th, who were trying to steal the election and who were trying to halt the counting and halt the certification of the Electoral College count. That's the objective of this entire operation. The violence was ancillary. They were trying to stop an election. They didn't care how they got there. That's not small d democracy. That's our small d democratic. That is a trick and a trope of authoritarianism. And look, I'm not going to try to change your mind if you're dug in on it. If you think it was peaceful, a tourist visit, and that was what you would feel like you were comfortable with, then, you know, I can't change your mind on that.
Right. Let's go quickly to Brian in Madison and WMDX back at our home station in Madison in the capital city. Brian, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, guys. You guys are great. I just want to say that, you know, there's people like the guy that just called, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything. And, you know, these guys, they don't understand the simple fact that I do believe, as far as before all this happened, most of these, or a lot of these nut jobs at January 6th, were armed. You know, they brought arms. They were in military garb, you know, like the 06ers or whatever those Proud Boys are and all them guys. You can't tell me that anything's good is going to happen from that. And they saw that coming. That, I mean, you got to be an idiot not to see that.
Yeah. Appreciate the call.
I mean, it's called denying is what it is. And you know, if you can't just look at the simple, you know, just, you know, overall human decency of how all this stuff is coming down, it's incredibly stupid.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Really appreciate the call. Brian and Madison, any thoughts on that, Rick?
I think that's exactly right. You've got people who showed up that day with spears and bear mace and a gallows and knives and clubs. And you had the Oath Keepers who have now, several of them have now admitted they had a, quote, quick reaction force out just outside in Arlington, Virginia. I mean, the guys were talking about a four-minute drive down to the Capitol from there, basically, who had AR-15s, who had cases and cases of firearms in their, quote, unquote, ready room.
Right.
These people did not go to Washington tooled up, ready to roll, randomly. They didn't go there and think, hey, you know, I'm going to wear body armor today to my peaceful tourist visit to the Capitol. I'm not going to have you know, radio communication protocols set up for my peaceful tourist visit to the Capitol. These guys, you know, look, the folks that are going to defend this, they live in a separate political reality. They're fed a steady drip of lies and conspiracy theories and false narratives that frankly are very difficult to overcome by rational people.
Let's go quickly to Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, running out of time here, but if you got a question for Rick, go ahead quickly, please.
Yeah, thank you for taking a great show today, Todd. And hey, it's all on video, for goodness sakes, but my question is about Chris Christie. I think he's pretty much a sane Republican, and I'm hoping he has a chance to break through tonight. What are the chances? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Wisco.
Look, I think Chris Christie's been doing something meritorious by speaking the truth about Trump. I think he still owes us an explanation and, frankly, an apology for the last 7 years of sucking up to Trump on TV every day and saying, oh, my God, his shit doesn't – oh, I'm so sorry. You know, he's everything he does is great and perfect. He had a long run of being the main Trump defender on television, on the weekend shows. And so I would love to see Chris really embrace his own culpability there. I mean, that would be something I think would be very helpful. But, you know, he's also got a real problem, is he's polling at about 1% with Republican voters.
Yeah, definitely going to be a problem. I want to go, in the time we have left here, just 4 minutes left, Rick, I want to talk a little bit about, because we'll have you on tonight for the pregame show along with Trivi, analyzing what's going on tonight.
Sure.
Give us just kind of the three-minute overview of the Lincoln Project, because this is the first time we've had you on live.
Sure.
Why did you leave the Republican Party, and why did you start the Lincoln Project?
Well, in 2015, I was one of the first senior Republican strategists in the country to say, I'm not going to support this guy. Yeah. At that point, he had insulted John McCain's military service. He had told us who he was. And I had worked in New York for Rudy Giuliani back in the day, and I knew who Trump was, okay? And I realized, though, there was something else about the party. He could break the Republican Party, and did. And so I said, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to do this. I became sort of the OG never-Trumper. In 2019, a group of us came together and formed the Lincoln Project. We were all former Republican strategists. Some of us were very senior in the field. Some of us were just, you know, anti-Trump. And we decided we would put the skills we had built as Republican political operatives to work against Donald Trump. It's not because we're liberals, not because we're progressives, not because we're Democrats. It's because we believe Donald Trump represented and still represents a proximate threat to the American Republic.
Yeah.
The way in which he has comported himself and abused his power is an immediate threat to the Constitution and the freedom and liberties in this country that we embrace. So we helped beat him in 2020. We beat 17 out of 22 people in 2022, and we're gonna go at it again this time because the guy just he's political herpes. He just won't die.
Now, the one question I get a lot is, what are these guys at Lincoln Project? What's the end game? Is it just defeating Trump? Is it Trumpism? Do they have somebody else they want to get elected?
Listen. We are not Republicans. None of these guys on the ballot right now. There's not a single person on that stage that any of us would go with, because they've all said that they'll vote for Trump if he's the nominee.
Yeah.
They're fully morally compromised. Our goal is to defeat Trump and Trumpism. We think the movement itself is pernicious and dangerous and violent, which is not how American politics can, should, or must work. And we believe that Trump himself, you know, is the head of the snake, but there is still a snake attached to that head. And that's our job in 2024. Look, we believe in democracy. We believe there should be a vibrant center-right party in this country. But right now, the Republican Party has been replaced with the Trump Party. It's gone as a functioning conservative party. It's now an authoritarian statist party. And so we're after Trump and the Trump movement. And where that goes after that, you know, look, I want to go write more books and raise grandchildren.
We're going to be talking here, 1 minute left. We're going to be talking to the media here on site about what makes Wisconsin ground zero. Mm-hmm. Give us your 45 seconds. Why is Wisconsin so important?
True purple state still. It is going to be a place where there are large numbers of movable voters on both sides of the equation. Mm-hmm. And it is going to get loud and expensive and very, very dirty.
All right. Very good. Rick Wilson, founder of the Lincoln Project. He'll be with us from 6 to 8 tonight along with Trigvi Olson. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate
Absolutely.
Having you here. If you're on the lines, don't go anywhere. As our friend Matt Flynn says, we'll take your calls to the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to special coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate, live from Milwaukee and brought to you by your local Civic Media radio station.
Stay with us as every news talk show host across the Civic Media Network is broadcasting from the Deer District, right outside Fiserv Forum, where the debate takes place tonight.
Your special coverage continues now, live from Milwaukee on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing truth and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. We are live on location at Whitetail, Milwaukee, across from Fiserv Forum here in the Deer District in downtown Milwaukee. We are having fun. I mean, I think regardless, we talked about this earlier on As Goes Wisconsin, Luke, with Greg was in there with Krista Bry this morning, and we talked about the fact that as messed up sometimes and as messy as our democratic system, small d, is, it's better than alternative. And what's happening over in Russia today, and we haven't really gotten it into it, but Prigozhin, the Wagner leader against Putin over there, the plane that he at least was listed on, hasn't been confirmed. The plane that he was on the list of being a passenger went down in flames this afternoon. And that was how they handled the opposition over in Russia.
You want to know who's going to probably talk about that a lot on their show? Coming up next, Matt Flynn Direct.
Yes, our friend, our colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. Great program, great guy. He is coming up next, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, I mean, our American system of democracy is messy, and it's very imperfect. But I will take what we have today, even if I personally don't agree with the people who are going to be across the street tonight. I will take this system of having the freedom to express themselves, the freedom to have their supporters in the streets, as opposed to simply knocking off your opponent, as was happening over in Russia.
Yeah, and I mean, if I was in Putin's crosshairs, maybe I would fake my own death by blowing up a plane too. I don't know, but. I don't have to be in those shoes, so I'm not going to go through that thought exercise too much. But messy to an extent, like, because, yes, blowing up planes and storming the Capitol, that's out of bounds. I think rightful protest, as you and Kristen discussed to kick off the hour, like the Women's March and Trigvi,
right.
The Women's March that took place after former President Donald Trump's election back in 2017 when he was inaugurated, that's part of the messiness. This debate coverage is part of the messiness, but there is a limit. There's limits put in place, and I think storming the Capitol or trying to, you know, destroy the opposition through literally blowing up a private jet or whatever kind of jet, that is all out of bounds.
Yeah, absolutely is, and we will see as the investigation continues there. Luke, I've asked everybody else. I'm going to come back and ask you as this protest, a Freudian slip perhaps, but as this debate tonight across the street at Fiserv Forum, as it unfolds tonight, whether you're personally interested or just advising people in the state of Wisconsin, what are you looking for tonight? What would maybe you like to see come out of this tonight? But what do you think people should be watching for tonight?
I mean, I don't think it is the highest stakes that some people have been pumping up to be. Will and I had this conversation on Town Call. I don't know. I think a lot of this cycle, the debates news cycle, is going to get stepped on
with the fact that the former president has to report to Fulton County tomorrow, and he plans on doing that, I believe, tomorrow morning. He's got until Friday to do so. But I have a feeling that's going to put a pretty quick end to the any news that is made tonight here in Milwaukee. I don't think that takes away from the significance of the first debate being in Milwaukee. I think the fact that the RNC chose here and to hold the first debate and hold their convention next summer in Milwaukee just gives the significance of Wisconsin in this 2024 race. And it truly is going to be Wisconsin that decides 2024. And so it's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. We need to be covering these candidates. I think that something could be interesting if some of these outlying candidates that haven't thrown their name in the ring yet see the rest of the competition on the debate stage tonight, and maybe we get some more candidates into this field after today.
There you go. There's something we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
Look at that. Luke Mather is bringing fresh news to you right out of his satchel right there. Let's go quickly to the line. Drew, we appreciate you calling back. A little bit of a trouble there with some of the lines. Drew on the line. Drew, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, Todd, so I got three things for you. First of all, I really like your show. I really like how you interact with all the callers, no matter what side of the aisle they believe in or vote for. I think you do a really good job with that.
Very kind. Thank you.
For the debate tonight, I guess I'm just looking to see who is sane enough to run our country and who is like, oh, this person's pretty far out there. I feel like Ron DeSantis is on his way out. And I heard earlier today that probably on Monday is going to be his last day of his campaign after the debate tonight.
That's what Jane Mattenair predicted. We'll see if she has a crystal ball, but go ahead.
And then the third thing I just wanted to, you know, as like most of your listeners, I listen to this station frequently, right? And I consume what you guys and girls, what you all tell what's going on. Somebody who doesn't listen to your station and maybe listens to like the right wing talk radio or Fox News, you know, they're consuming the things that they tell them. And so like the gentleman who called before who says, you know, tell me it nowhere in Trump's speech did he say, you know, go down there and ransack the Capitol. But one thing you have to remember is like a lot of news outlets aren't telling the whole story of the investigation behind it and the evidence that they have. So they're only pointing to one thing that radio is telling them, and it's saying, well, this speech said nothing. But they're not telling about everything else that's going on behind the scenes. So I wouldn't say somebody like that is stupid, because I know, like, me listening to civic media, I have blind spots because I consume what you guys tell me. There's probably some things on right-wing talk radio that are going on with the Democratic Party and progressives that I have no idea about, because Dom and Crude aren't gonna, and you know, some of your other hosts, they're not gonna go in and talk about how bad progressives are. So it's just, I think it just comes down to like who you mainly consume, and that's where you gotta see things from both sides. You can't just call people stupid. You know?
Yep, great call, Drew. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. I think that you're right in that it's always good to consume a breadth of news. Yeah, I mean, I try to get my news from a variety of sources. We, at least on this show, try to tell, you know, the whole truth. That's what we say. We're pursuing the truth. I think that for the most part, our civic media crew does a good job of doing that. And that's really the one of the main concepts of civic media, is that we bring people the truth, no matter which side of the aisle it comes from, and then let you decide. That's what civic media is about. That's why we are here, and that's why we're excited to bring you a special tonight from 6 until 8. Wisconsin decides the road to the Republican nomination starts here. We'll be joined by my co-host Kristen Bryan from As Goes Wisconsin, Rick Wilson, and Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project, and a cast of characters in the thousands, or at least a couple. We'll come back at 6 o'clock tonight. We thank Luke Mathers for doing yeoman's work back in Madison. We thank Brian Kelly down here and the entire Civic Media crew. We thank all of our guests today. Thank you so much for being with us. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn Direct is next. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you tonight at 6 o'clock live from Whitetail in Milwaukee. This is the Todd Allball Show, and you've been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.